Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
Speaks has been out. We're going to turn the damn page.
Lions at Ravens on Monday night. Ravens favored by 4.5. Dan Campbell raving about the chemistry of his guy Jared Goff, and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I mean, it's an art form, you know, so if you love art, which I'm not saying I do or I don't, but it's awesome to watch. And
Lawrence, does he not want to admit that he might love art because of the meatball versus dork subculture of football?
I think that's where he's going. I just hope that he knows that there's all sorts of things that fall underneath the umbrella of art.
It's okay. Like art.
Listen, it's an art form, you know, so if you love art, which I'm not saying I do or I don't.
like music is art?
You know John Lennon.
Yeah, sure, he was a president before Lincoln.
Lennon said, I'm an artist. You give me a tuber, I'll get you something out of it.
Sure, it's all right to say it. And how does art feel? Art is just out there being art. It's like, I'm lovable, and Dan's like, I'm not saying I love art. Don't tell art I do love him. I don't want to say anything about that. What the hell, man?
Speech. Not that Thank art. You. That's Thank a you. Different art.
What do you think, Jay?
I'm not a big art guy.
You don't like art?
Well, come on now.
You play video games?
Yes.
Guess what, buddy? You like art?
Yep.
You ever been to Subway?
Yes.
You order a sandwich? Somebody put that together for you, dude. Sandwich. That's art.
Sandwich artist.
Yeah, I mean, it's an art form, you know, so if you love art, which I'm not saying I do or I don't.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We got you until Cubs baseball. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Four dealers. The open was done by Tanny. Baby T is here in his stead, though, because Tanny has the day off. Alex is here trying to hold everything together. That man is Matt Spiegel.
You know, Chris Tannehill in absentia is still better at his job than any of us are at ours. That music, man, just the subliminal, that's the Smiths. Please, please, please let me get what I want, which is playing in the Ferris Bueller scene in the Art Institute when they're staring at the Surratt painting. It's just like little nuggets like that. He's just the goods, man.
He works on so many levels, and that's why he is the best. He knows what he's doing. There's no doubt about that. Here's what we have planned for you today. Weedsy. Dan Wiederer will join us at 3 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the injury report of your Chicago Bears and other things, too. Olin Krutz will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll have some fun, too. We'll talk about what clearly looked like a hangover game for the Cubs last night in Cincinnati, and they still almost won it. So there's that. And we'll get some other Cubs thoughts out in here too for us. There's stuff for us to do for
sure.
Yeah,
I know who the rotation's going to be. I'm going to go ahead and predict what Craig Counsell's going to do. There's what you would do, what I would do, but I think I know what Craig's going to do. So we'll talk about that.
All of that is on deck for you on today's show. But let's start where we left off with the conversation with Layla and Marshall and Groats. And that's the idea on a football Friday of thinking about what a football Monday would be. Now, I know this goes against my better angels. Allow me to paint a picture of an actual like fun Sunday for everyone that then turns into a fun Monday.
Okay, please do.
The best case scenario, Speaks, is that the Bears win the game. Like, I can see that happening because I don't think Dallas is very good. And I know that they put up a ton of points last week against the Giants, which makes you think, like, in my mind, it makes you think that this game could play out that way, too. The other thing, which is not as good, but I think might be more fun, even, is that they lose, but Caleb balls out the way that Russell Wilson balled out. And if the Bears were in a situation where their quarterback threw for 450 yards inside of a game and scored a whole bunch of points, even if we had to go on the roller coaster ride of the loss, I think it wouldn't be as bad as, you know, the Bears getting embarrassed. I think there would be some, like, there would be a glimmer of hope that every Bears fan, after they got over their anger about the game going away from the Bears, would be like, yeah, they lost, but maybe they also kind of won. Because look at that. The quarterback looked good. Plays were on time. Rome Odunze had another great game. They said screw the run game because they don't have any running backs left, and threw the ball 60 times and ended up working out for them.
Okay, so you think that we have descended, and maybe you're right about this, that we've descended to the moral victory place. Like, we're so desperate to see the offensive growth and the Caleb growth under Ben that'll be accepted. Because I hadn't started the season there, but I'm the same guy who on Monday said playoffs are toast. You know, so maybe as a populace, we have descended to that spot.
I could be wrong about it, Speaks. Like, it could just be it's all or nothing, win the game, even if Caleb looks bad, like, win the game.
Let's ask the people, because you could very well be right, because I remember you and I saying, and that's where I was the beginning of the year, like, no, man, I'm not going to be charting moral victories this year. That's not what this is about. This feels like a time where you're supposed to win. But now here we are slapped in the face with the largesse of what this task seems to be of the rebuild. So you may be right, Lawrence, and maybe that will mitigate what I've been fearing. You know, because what I've been fearing as the day has progressed and been thinking about this game and how we're going to discuss it, the idea of coming in here and it's a loss. Let's say it's just a loss where the offense is held to below 30 points.
Let's call it a 24-17 loss.
Dude, a 24-17 loss where a Caleb Williams passing offense under Ben Johnson can't do enough against the Cowboys that got rolled for 460 yards by Russell Wilson last week, even though they won the game. Like, if that's it, and it's a Matt Eberflus defense that emerges victorious, and he's got a fist in the air as he runs off the field at Soldier Field, and Ben Johnson has an extension of the face that we've seen for 2 weeks where he's realizing how far away this thing is, oh, man, that image is what hit me. And I was like, oh, boy, if we're parsing, is it Ben's fault or Caleb's fault? On Monday, with a victorious Eberflus, that felt like a horrific scenario. I kind of don't even want to imagine. You know what I mean?
Let me give you the Russ numbers. Okay, I want you to, those of you who are not driving, I want you to close your eyes. And even if it's a Bears loss, imagine Caleb goes 30 for 41, yeah, for 450 yards. 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, and a rating of 123.0. He has 2 receivers go over 100 yards with multiple touchdowns and played a significant role in the run game, which I do think is something that the Bears might be able to use to their advantage against Dallas, is that making Caleb part of the run game and using some power O to do it.
Yeah.
I think they might have some opportunities there against the Cowboys defense. But if we walk into it and we see that, like, if you, everyone's face, the smiles on people's faces, if they see Caleb light Dallas up, if light Eberflus up, even in a loss, if they see him light that defense up, it'll bring joy to people at least until the Raiders game.
Well, that's the thing. It's short term. What you're describing is
no
super short term. And you know, because you know what I started thinking about? Remember when Justin was really good in a blowout loss in Dallas a few years ago? It was a 49-29 game, and Justin threw for two touchdowns and 150 yards. He ran for 60 yards and a touchdown. I remember coming in that next day and being like, man, doesn't matter that they lost. You see what Justin did? You see what Justin did? We got our guy. We got our guy. And we all, like, thought that was enough. And I'm not ready to be there because this is supposed to be the marriage of coach and quarterback. It's supposed to be the thing where it comes together enough. So,
all right, well, look, then walk us through the doom of them losing.
I don't want to.
No, too late. Too late. I already took the high ground. There can only be one. Shout out to the Highlander.
There can be only one. Oh, they're standing there on the bridge. What's that dude's name? We had him on the show. That guy, he was also, Hadley. He was Hadley in Shawshank. He was the lead, he's the lead.
Guard, right?
The lead guard, yeah.
Oh, speaking of our show and famous people, I got a text message from our guy, Phil Donlin, and he said, yo, I ran into Matt Walsh two nights ago at a premiere of his movie, and we talked about you guys' show.
That's the best. That's the best right there. So look, the doom would be successful Eberflus, Bears 0-3, season in full-on playoffs or bust mode, and people trying to parse it. But, I mean, that would just push you towards more your moral victory scenario. I'd have to dredge back up the moral victory measurements and kind of tweak them to fit a scenario where we're still hopeful that Ben and Caleb can be the guys, can be the combo platter together. So that's what I'd be doing. I'd be spending Monday going, all right, here we are. Yeah, no, I know you're pissed. I know it's the worst. I know it's awful to see Eberflus, you know, validated and to see him happy.
You don't want to see him walk off the football field like Judd Nelson at the end of Breakfast Club.
You don't.
You do not want to see Matt Eberflus do that.
That's what you get in my house for spilling paint in the garage. All right? No, you don't want to see that. And if you see that, you're going to have to deal with all sorts of layered emotions. But Monday will be an official transition to a life of moral victories the rest
stupid,
of this season.
Stupid, worthless, no yeah. good, gosh darn, freeloading son of a... That monologue is amazing.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
So hopefully we don't get that because that would be bad.
No, but you know, so I mean, I think our ideas have merged here. I don't know, and maybe it'll if it does happen, if your scenario happens. And it's a Monday to try and embrace a moral victory of Ben and Caleb moving forward while the defense and the talent around them is still clearly in a problematic place. Maybe we will be able to wrestle with that. Because I think you believe that we could. You believe that we could. You believe that we'll be able to rationalize that pretty well.
I do, but
that scenario.
I also think that we might have to. I think that that will be the only thing that's left. Because then if they're to lose this game, all you have left, because if they win this game, the playoffs are still on the table. If you lose it, it's pretty much over. And I know that at 0-2, statistically, it's not great for a team to make the playoffs.
But it's not over. To your point, three teams last year started 0-2 in a 17-game season and made the playoffs. Two of those are not the comp. It's the Ravens and the Rams, because those, I mean, that's Matthew Stafford and it's Lamar Jackson. But the Broncos started 0-2 last year, and then Peyton and Bo Nix clicked enough. So there is a dream. If the Bears win on Sunday, I'll be leaning on that fact that I just gave, that maybe you're this year's version of the Broncos, that maybe it is plausible. So we'll see.
But that only buys you a week, too. But we'll continue discussing it, along with hearing, one, going through the injury report for you, because I think we need to do that. And two, Ben talked about the left tackle position, and there's someone who might get an opportunity to play that hasn't yet. Maybe. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're not afraid to remind people when we've had something correct.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right?
I learned it from watching you, Lawrence.
I learned it by watching you.
Afternoons on The Score.
Able to reveal your starting left tackle.
Yeah, I'll go with Braxton.
So there's more to that story, and we're going to get to it momentarily. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are glad that you are part of the show today. We are cut short today for a little bit of baseball, but you're going to get back a little bit of baseball tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow between 2 and 5 p.m. as Speaks brings you a special edition of Hit and Run right here on The Score. We'll break down the Cubs' playoff berth and look ahead to baseball's postseason. That's tomorrow from 2 to 5 on The Score and the Odyssey app.
So, Lawrence, the Braxton Jones thing has always felt like, well, that's what we got to do from Ben Johnson's perspective. Like he's talked about, I want him to lose slower in terms of his battles on the pass block. He's also said, well, it's not like it's great every time, but it's the best we got. And now this past week, we saw Theo Benedet get 11 snaps, the same ones that Tyson Bagent got when that game was out of reach in Detroit. So what kind of update did we get on left tackle today?
Yeah, well, why don't we start with him talking specifically about the position and then him getting into Braxton Jones as an individual?
At left tackle, you left things very open-ended going into the season about your plans there that you'd be evaluating. Has Braxton convinced you, or is that still very much
open? Yeah, each week we evaluate everybody on the roster. And so if a guy's playing well, you know, we let them know that and say that they're playing winning football for us. And if guys aren't doing well, then we have to look into how do we help them and put them in a better spot to succeed, or do we need to get somebody else in there? So that's a conversation we have for every player on the roster. You know, we'll see where we go each week, and you'll see on game day.
Well, what about specifically with Braxton? I mean, Joe Tooney is not at risk each week of being benched. What is your assessment of Braxton right now?
Braxton he's doing a good job in terms of knowing the game plan. I think he started the first half of each game really strongly, and we probably haven't had the second half finish that we wanted.
He's also there, man. Speaks.
Leary is around. He knows the game plan well. He started well. So has he lost stamina and steam because of the injury? And that's their concern. That's one way to frame it, obviously, and could explain the Benedet snaps.
But the thing is that why didn't you take that into account? This is why, them not targeting left tackle as a position of need is problematic organizationally. And then
they did and blew it, though. Don't you think that the GM said, look, this kid can play left. And then they got to camp and his second round pick from BC can't play left. And he's basically a backup right to a guy who should be here for another 8 or 9 years at right tackle. That's one of the worst draft picks in recent memory, if that's what's going to end up with it.
Yeah, but that's a project. And that you shouldn't do a project with your second round pick.
No, they blew it. But I told you, 13 linemen drafted in the first or second round, they've all started a game. Ozzie Trapillo can't even dress. Poles really screwed the left tackle position. So you're right that it's an organizational problem.
So what about Ozzie Trapillo? We got an update on how he's been doing and what Ben Johnson might do with him.
With Ozzie, it's with all these rookies. We're developing trust. And so what do we do with Ozzie? We start him on the left side. We made the decision that wasn't the best spot for him. And so we moved him back over on the right side. He's getting better every day. Just made a comment to the O-line coaches this morning about how much improved he looks in individual and, you know, some of the run stuff that we're doing on Wednesdays and pads. And he's really showing up. So he's coming along. And, you know, there'll be a point this season where he's playing for us. You know, is that this week or is that a few weeks down the road? I don't know. But he's preparing as if he's ready to go.
Speaks, I want to get your thoughts on that. But poor Alex, you can't see him. Just head in his hands during that answer. So I want to know why, Alex. Why was your head in your hands when you heard Ben Johnson say that about Ozzie Trapillo?
Because everybody that you talked to before the draft said that Ozzie Trapillo was a right tackle. He is a lot of people said, oh, maybe he could start right away at right tackle.
With the idea being take Darnell and move him over to left tackle.
So they thought that they were going to move him to left tackle when clearly the rest of the league and a lot of the people that broke down the tape of him did not think that he was a left tackle.
Look, I don't think there's another way to interpret what has gone on here than this. Ryan Poles decided that Ozzie Trapillo could be a left tackle because I'm the line guy, and he handed him to Ben Johnson and Dan Rauschar, who looked at him and said, he's not a left tackle. What the hell is wrong with you, Mr. Poles? And so they put him back at right, and they're not going to move Darnell yet. They're going to survive for a while. And now Ben is trying to give Ozzie a chance to grow into this. And at some point, when they're out of playoff contention and this season is transitioned, or when he thinks Ozzie has learned it enough, they'll give him a shot to show it. But you don't just get handed a position for Ben Johnson because the GM handed you as a player to him.
Here's the thing. I don't like the divorcing of Dan Rauschar and Ben Johnson from the Ozzie Trapillo move.
I know you don't.
I don't like it at all, because if you have a coach or coaches that you trust, then you're going to take their opinion on players. And if you got to that point and those guys were vehement about, hey, this guy is not a left tackle, not in what we want to do, that he's not a left tackle. If you're taking him, you're taking him as a project, and I don't think that makes sense. That means that your organizational problems are still as bad as they've ever been. If Poles ends up superseding what his coaches saw on tape to get a guy in there just because he went to BC.
Well, no, but you know how those rooms work, where sometimes the GM wins one and sometimes the coaches win one. And it's supposed to be the coach. And I was talking big about how it's all coach, it's all coach, it's all coach. But it seems to be that the GM still won a couple. And he's the line guy. Look at me. I played line. I know line. BC is my connect. And he clearly effing doesn't. Right now that looks like a real bad pick. I hear you. I know you don't like the divorcing. I just think that's what happened.
Well, if that is what happened, then what are we doing? Then this whole thing is doomed. If it continues to be this way with a guy being emboldened with an extension with Ryan Poles, if the coaches were not involved in that decision, that's bad. If the coaches were involved in that decision, it's bad.
But if they were involved and it still goes the GM's way, this is a data point that moves towards the coaches, and that's a good thing. So maybe finally the GM will be like, all right, yeah, I guess I don't really know. I thought I knew. My bad. I hear you. Or he'll bend to them a little bit more. And I think it's part of the process of Ben taking over.
Okay, but I don't want us to then be like, hey, Colson Loveland is Ben Johnson's guy, and Ozzie Trapillo is Ryan Poles' guy. This was a collective. This was the guy that you brought in because he was the hottest coach in the game and that you wanted him there. And if you're not listening to him on draft day in his first draft, then when are you ever going to listen to him?
But and they all wear the blame for everything. It is not binary. You and I can both see, and we hate when things get completely binary. So this is a good discussion, because a lot of times when you still talk, in the end, one of you goes, all right, I'll let you have this. And then when it goes bad, you got to point to the person who made that decision, who really pushed it over the edge, and say, next time, could you listen to me? You know, if these debates happen and these outcomes happen. It's a bad outcome right now.
We can run this by Dan Wiederer. He's got thoughts. Also, he's going to walk you through what is an ugly, ugly Bears injury report next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.